Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice. I am so excited about this day. I'm excited about how God is getting ready to bless you, you and you. Yes, you, my radio listeners, I know on today there's going to be another glorious blessing for you. I just feel like, oh, magnify the Lord with me and just let us exalt that wonderful, matchless name of Jesus together. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. And I am just so excited about you being with me on today. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to tremendously bless you. We have another glorious lesson on today, talking about the vine and the branches on today, coming from the book of John, chapter number 15, and we're going to look at verses number 1 down to verse number 14, and I want you to know that we are in for a treat. Again, we're going to be looking at chapter number, John chapter 15, verses number 1 through verse number 14, and I just want to open up with this glorious day and this session with prayer and asking God just to tremendously bless this session. Pastor God, that your blessing, God, would be upon this session, God, that your anointing power would just exude through this airways, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that every one of our listeners will be blessed, that all of their needs will be granted and met, Lord, as I touch and agree that your earnest blessing will be upon them and their family. Let our tongue be as a pen of a ready writer. And, oh, God, we'll praise your blessed name as we bring to your people victorious living through the words of empowerment from biblical lessons and principle as we explore the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. Father, we ask that you bless each and every one of our listeners, and we will be careful to give you the praise. So as we look at our lesson on today, and we'll say in Jesus' name as we close that prayer, that we're going to look over at John chapter number 15 as you get your Bible, as you can follow along with us. I know you're going to be greatly blessed. And it reads on this line, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I am in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And the man gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye may, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, That's so far the reading of the scripture. And the verse that we're going to be looking at on today is coming from verse number 5. And it reads on this line, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I'm in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abiding in Christ is the secret to fruitfulness, friendship, and continual discipleship and answer prayer. And I want to say that again so that you can capture that and write it down. Because very right off of the beginning of our lesson that I want you to grab a hold of this. It says the abiding in Christ is the secret to fruitfulness, friendship, continuing discipleship, and answer prayer. Now let's look further into our lesson. Each of the Gospels speak briefly of the Last Supper which Jesus shared with his disciples. However, only John recorded the Lord's last words spoken to the 12 disciples as they gathered around him that monumental night. Those words are summarized in John chapter 13 through 17. It's called this passage the seedbed of the epistles because nearly all of the major doctrine developed in the New Testament letter are present in Jesus' instruction given at the Last Supper. Now, John's account began as the meal was being served. Jesus shocked his disciples by taking the role of a household slave and washing their feet. And in this, he modeled for them the servitude attitude they should have to display as leaders of the church. John 13, verses number 1 through verse number 17. Now, when Jesus predicted his betrayal, Judas slipped out into the night and left Christ alone with the faithful 11. It is to them that Jesus gave his new commandment to love one another as he loved them. John 13, verses 31 through 38. Jesus went on to encourage his remaining disciple with the promise that he would return. Jesus explained how believers will be able to continue a personal relationship with him after his resurrection, John 14, verses 15 through 31. This would become the possible because Jesus would send his spirit to take up residence in every believer and through the Holy Spirit who loved Jesus and obeyed his teaching will actually experience Christ's presence and know the peace that only he can give. How and so I want to take this moment as we get ready to pick this back up, but I want to take this moment real quickly to just bind the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and bind all of the foes that will come against this broadcast. We come against it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we call the ability to stay connected to the people of God and in this airway unto the benediction in the name of Jesus Christ, and we come against every technicality, every thing that will want to hinder it, in the name of Jesus, and we call God your sovereign will to be done, and I call clear connection to be connected unto the benediction of this lesson, and we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. According to our faith, so be it unto us. I take authority over it. And so let us look again, and what we was talking in regards about is that as we stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ by walking close, inviting him in to our circumstances and situation, we can begin to develop that relationship with the Lord our God by walking with him, just like you walk with a friend and just inviting them, Lord, come on, go with me. And Father, talk to my heart, talk to my mind, and talk to my soul by constantly inviting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into our relationship or into our presence or into our situation or in our space. Then he will become in that space and begin to commune with his people. Now, let's look at our relationship a little further. Now, Christianity is not just a religion of belief. It is a religion of relationship. John 15 mentioned three main relationships. And let's take a look at these three main relationships. Number one, relationship with the Lord. And that's John 15, verses 1 through 4. Then also a relationship with one another. And that goes on John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. And then also a relationship with the world. John 15, verses 18 through 19, and you can read and gain a greater understanding. So these three relationships are very vital for us as the children of God. Now, regarding our relationship with the Lord, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That was Matthew chapter 28 and 20. He would never leave us alone. Even though it may seem as though that we are alone, he will never, ever leave us alone. Even in those of loneliness, feel like you can feel the Lord anymore, he's there with you according to your faith. So be it unto you. We must believe that he's there and believe that he will. Now, there is a great difference between being alone and being lonely. Every person needs time to be alone when in quietness and confidence he can focus on the deep needs of their own soul. Jesus often withdrew from the crowd and even from his disciples, his most intimate friends, so that he could be alone in the garden or on the mountain or in the lakeshore. A measure of loneliness necessary for the health of the soul. The loneliness is devastating. It blots the stars out of the sky. It hides the light from the sun, and it takes the joy out of life. It robs a person of his enthusiasm and it weakens one's health and shakes their self-confidence. It breeds fear and ruins effectiveness. It destroys one's spirit. To be alone is to know the creative power of quietness and healing power of stillness. On the other hand, to be lonesome is to feel isolated from life, unwanted, unneeded, and unloved by God and man. So can you see the contrast here in things of loneliness and being alone and being able to be alone and focus in on your needs or what God is speaking to your heart and your mind? Sometimes in our loneliness or in our time when we feel as though we are all alone, it's the time for us to begin to focus on, God, what are you saying to me today? Lord, what are you wanting me to do today? And now I'm checking into my soul. I'm asking God and I'm inviting God to lead and guide me and to direct me into truth and to his righteousness. And as I'm seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things are going to be added unto me. But as I'm taking this moment and time out just to sit before God and saying, God, what is it you're speaking to me, Lord? Speak to my heart. I feel an emptiness. I feel a void. And that only you can feel it as you begin to invite them into that place. He will come and sit and abode with the children of God. Now, let's look further. In some measure, loneliness is a product of our modern age and of our crowded urban lifestyle. Many people in great cities are surrounded by crowds, but still they are literally sick with loneliness. Swallowed up and overwhelmed, they lose all sense of significance. Many aspects of modern cultures tend to separate others and deepen their sense of loneliness and competitive style and individualism and fear. There is much more fear and weeping in our world than we know or can even imagine. There are few sadder words than I am lonely. Lonely is one of the problems of the modern society. Young people experience it with their dreams and aspiration, their conflicts and temptation, their problems and their fear. old people know that it is their families scattered, their circles of friends diminishing, and the fear of being useless and dependent troubles them. There is a loneliness of success, of failure, and of death. But Jesus knows the meaning of loneliness, and he desired to befriend and strengthen those who suffer from it. The disciple was heartbroken by Jesus' death and loneliness, and fear paralyzed them as a terror that hid themselves behind locked doors. Gradually, they understood the great truth that he was still with them. A few weeks later, on the mountain in Galilee, they heard him speak the word that through the centuries has helped individuals conquer loneliness. Lo, I am with you always. Matthew 28:20. We must recognize that even in that moment, he's with you and you're not alone. Now, we will conquer our loneliness if we resolve to use it to find ourselves and to enrich our life through the relationship with Jesus Christ. As we grow in our understanding of life, ourselves, and our intimate relationship with God, we will discover that loneliness begins to fade away because you now have learned how to tap in and use that moment of quietness, that time that seemed lonely, is the time that God want to commune with you. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, want to commune and talk with his people during those moments and time. And so begin to invite them in by reading your word, by just talking with them, just like we're talking on the radio today or like you would talk to your regular friends. Just by talking with them and inviting them in is one aspect. Now, the psalmist in his loneliness looked up at the stars and pondered the meaning of life and asked, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moons and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him and the son of man that thou visitest him? Psalms 8:3-4. Now, delving into the meaning of this experience with God, he saw with deep insight the connection between his relationship with the sheep as their shepherd and God's relationship with him as his shepherd. So he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Psalms 23:1-3. Now Jesus returned from his lonely vigil, a prayer with a renewed power and seemingly endless resources of strength and energy. We conquer loneliness also when we practice the presence of God and remembering that we are never alone. This was the secret discovered by the brother Lawrence, the monastery cook, in the 17th century. He found the divine presence as real in his kitchen as in the chapter before the high altar. This distinctive glory of God's, the child of God's faith, has then its ability to strengthen individual by their consciousness of God's presence. Psalms 23:4 state, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalms 139:8-10 state, and if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I bid in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Again, that was Psalms 139:10. We were made by God, and we belong to him. We are the people of God. Our hearts are empty and our lives lonely until we know the near abiding presence of God everywhere we live, wherever we go, and wherever we work. Now, receiving the ghost was the tremendous experience that changed the world from this discouraged, lonely, and fearful disciples of Jesus. They came to understand that their friend truly was alive, for he was living within them through their spirit. Jesus Christ is also our friend, and we conquer our loneliness when we can sing when Jesus Small said, "I found a friend, oh, such a friend." And it goes on, "He loves me ere I know. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined, those ties which now can never sever. For I am his and he is mine forever, ever." Now, Jesus understands how we feel and our need for a friend. He always is present, ready to be that friend. We may be alone, but with him, we will never have to be lonely. Now, when we look at Romans chapter 8, verses 38-39, it reads, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord." We would never be separated from Jesus Christ, not even the devil. He forced this truth when he's saying, "When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." Psalms 27:10. Although we may encounter seasons of loneliness, they do not have to master us because Jesus is with us and we are never need to be lonely. He never will leave us alone. To illustrate his relationship to us and ours to him, he used the imagery of the vine and the branches. And let's take a look at that so that we can gain an understanding when Jesus was speaking unto his disciple in that regards about the branch and the vine and the branch. Now he said, "He is the true vine." Jesus said, "I am the true vine," John 15:1. The Old Testament commonly used the vine to illustrate God's people. Psalms 80:8 refers to Israel as a vine brought out of Egypt. The clearest use of the image is found in Isaiah 5, and it reads, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my of teaching his vineyard. My well-beloved have a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a vineyard therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and that it brought forth wild grapes. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is his pleasant plant. And for judgment, and behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry." Unfortunately, Israel failed to produce the fruit of righteousness and justice for which God was looking for. Consequently, Jesus Christ was the true vine, and through him, God established in which believers could produce the fruit of true goodness, spiritual fruit. See Galatians 5:22-23. Further, only through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the true vine, can human produce the moral quality for which God seeks. Personal relationship with Jesus is the essence of Christianity. Now, I want to stop right here and go back for just a moment and look at what happened. It said Israel failed to produce the fruit of righteousness and justice for which God is looking for. And so I want to bring that out and for us to take a look at it a little closer and begin to focus on as bringing forth the fruit of righteousness and right living, keeping God's commandments and walking before him so that we can be bearers of the fruit of his righteousness. That's very key because he's looking for fruit from his people, from his children. And so we want to be the bearers of the fruits of righteousness before the Lord our God. Now, we are the fruitful branches. Jesus Christ is divine, the source of spiritual vitality, and believers need him. They can exist only through an ongoing connection to him. However, in a sense, he also needs the branches. He desires to reach out to the lost of this world, and for this effort, he needs the branches. He wants to minister to those with spiritual hurts and needs, and the means of ministering to them involve the branches. The vine gives believers strength, but they are the branches that go out to do his work in this world. We are his eyes, ears, feet, and the mouth in this world. And as his branches, the Lord expects believers to be fruitful. Fruitfulness is determined and accomplished by the branches remaining attached to the vine. Believers are to abide in Christ Jesus, for that is their means of sustenance and strength. And we must abide in him, the vine, and bear the fruit for his cause. Now let's look further, the prerequisite for the fruitful life. Now let's take a look at that. Purging by God. The gardener purged his vines with extreme care. We need not fear the pruning of God as the gardener who prunes his vine. It is clear that God actively tends to his vineyard, and he is fully committed to bringing every branch to the state of maximum fruitfulness. God's pruning benefits us, and it does not threaten us. Now, when God's pruning and cutting back and taking things out of our life, we must recognize, even though sometimes it doesn't feel comfortable, but we must recognize God is going to bring greater fruit to our life as he's taking us through this pruning process. So don't get overwhelmed in that process. Don't when you feel as though things are being cut or things are being, you're losing things, well, God is maybe pruning, and maybe God is cutting some things out of your life that doesn't need to be there, that could be a hindrance or could be pulling off of the sap and not allowing you to be the woman of God or the man of God that God is calling you out to be. So recognize when that pruning takes place, it is God at work in your life. Now let's look at another point, abiding in him. John 15:4, it states, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. John 15:4. Now, the New International Version of the Scriptures translate John 15:4, remain in me. The point is that the believers live in an intimate union with Jesus. It is clear in the analogy why believers should abide in Jesus. A branch draws its vital juices from the vine to which it is united. So let's take a moment and let's contextualize that now. And let's look at the implication here. Now it said the branches draws its vital juices from the vine to which it is united. So as we stay united to the Lord Jesus Christ through our scripture reading devotionals, through our service in the house of the Lord and the things of the Lord, and then also our community by being arms and legs for Jesus by our loss and comforting those that mourn and hurting and things, and staying connected through prayer, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is going to release unto the vital sustenance that we need to be maintained as children of God and staying connected, because outside of Christ, we cannot do or accomplish the things that he's trying to accomplish in and through our life if we're not connected. And so it's key and it's vital for us to stay connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I must say, we must stay connected when it don't feel comfortable, when it doesn't feel popular, when it feel as though that you feel uneasy and uncomfortable. Well, guess what? God is doing something far greater in our lives in that uncomfortable state and purpose and time. Many people jump out of the church, walk away from the church during these particular times and moments. But I come to tell you, child of God, if you hold on and allow the power of God as you stay united with him to exude through you and stand connected to the body of Christ, God will greatly, greatly bless you in a mighty and a special way. Now let's look further. It says, in the same way, we draw from Jesus the spiritual vitality able us to produce fruit. Thus Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, John 15:5. The Christian life is a supernatural life, which flows from Jesus to us. One can experience it as they live in an intimate fellowship with the Lord. And so here, child of God, and I can't help but to stop and keep reemphasizing this point, is very vital and very key for the child of God in order for us to be effective. You must stay connected through your scripture reading, through your prayer, through your communing with God, to talking with them and supping with them and things. That's our way of staying connected unto him in order to be fruitful. Now, let's go to the next point, is obey the word. Jesus also made it clear how we as believers are able to remain in him. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, John 15:10. We remain in Jesus Christ by obeying his word. Jesus never abandoned us. Any failure to abide in him is the result of our personal choice. Let's look further. The degree of fruit bearing. And now we're going to look at the different and various types of degree of bearing fruit. A number of Old Testament passages portray God's people as a vine and fruit as a consequence of the outcome of our human action. Figurative use of fruit is the common imagery of the Old Testament and appears even 11 times in the book of Psalms and 10 times in the book of Proverbs. Also, the same principle appears in Isaiah 5, verses number 1 through verse 7, where the prophet described Israel as God's. Although the Lord did everything to prepare the land and protect the young plant, the results were more than disappointing. Examining Isaiah's vision of God's vineyard helps us to understand, as Jesus' disciple would have understood, Christ's expanded analogy of his own vine and branches relationship with believers. After and against the well-known background of this image, Jesus announced, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, John 15:5. God looked for the fruit of the Old Testament planting, Israel, and now he looks for the fruit from his New Testament investment, the church. Unlike the Old Testament vine, the product, they produce bitter fruit. The branches connected to Jesus are expected to bear much fruit. And so you see the contrast from the passage of scripture that we talked about in Isaiah chapter verse 1 through 7. And now Jesus is saying over in John 15:8, he wanting us as children of God to bear much fruit. And so as we begin to be fruit bearing people of children of God, God is going to tremendously bless us. Now let's look at that. Students of the scripture often ask what fruit means in this imagery. The meaning is established in the Old Testament and reinforced in the New Testament. Isaiah portrayed fruit as juice, justice, and righteousness. The Apostle Paul portrayed fruit as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which the Holy Ghost produced in the believer's life. Galatians 5:2 and verse number 23. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament focus our attention on character. Fruit represents those good and right qualities that the Spirit produces within a person whose heart is in tune with God's own character and nature. see Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23. Now, and this is very key as children of God. We must recognize that God is concerned about our character. Now, anybody can read the word. Anybody can say that they, you know, are called to bear the word. But when it comes down to the bare bones and lessons, God is concerned about the character of the individual. And so what we must continue to be cognitive of is our character. How are we handling our circumstances and situations? How are we handling our problems that arise in our lives? How are we handling our disappointments? And how are we handling our mountaintop experience and our successes? And all of these things is concerned and hinged around our character. And it takes God to keep us from getting the big head and being high-minded and puffed up. We must continue to maintain a spirit of humility and lowliness, no matter how high God allows us to ascend. Yes, be great leaders. Yes, be great in that which God has called you to, but also be a bearer of great humility as well, giving the glory and the honor unto the Lord our God, because truly he is the one who's enabling us to be, to accomplish that which we are accomplishing. Now, let's look further. Two things that dominate this critical New Testament passage. Let's look at these. Number one, the theme of the vine and his branches. And number two, the command of Jesus to his disciples to love one another. Now, this key point, because what the adversary tried to do in the house of the Lord is to always cause division and always ism and schism in the body of Christ. Now, we just talked about character, and that key, we must maintain our character and be able to love one another. Yes, love that one that hates you. Love that one that don't like you for whatever reason it may be. Maybe they don't like the sound of your voice. They may not like the way you look. But no matter what, you allow the love of Jesus go to those individuals that hate you for no ungodly reason. For no godly reason. You kind of like, my God, what did I do? What did I say? Why are they acting or treating me in this manner, in this way? Well, you just be steadfast and continue on in that love and in that place and developing your character, because it's not about them. It's about your relationship with the God in which you say, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you cultivate your character and let them begin to see the fruit of your righteousness before the Lord your God. Bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. These are the things that we want others to see in our life. Now, Jesus developed the first thing as he stressed that a believer must remain in him as a branch, must remain in an intimate union with his vine. John 15, verses 4 through 10. This is essential because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can we bear spiritual fruit if we remain connected to Christ. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. To remain in Jesus means something different from continuing to believe in him. It means to live in communion with him. Further, let's take a look further. Fruit bearing is possibly when individuals remain connected to Jesus Christ in an intimate union. And only in bearing fruit can we achieve God's purpose for our life. The important thing for us to realize is whatever prominence we may achieve in the local church or in the larger Christian world, God's goal for us is that we be fruit for him. Unless we are living in union with our Lord and seeing his fruit produced in our lives, all else is meaningless. How do we live in a close union with the Lord? Bonded to him as closely as a branch is to his vine. As was the case in John 14, Christ again emphasized obeying his commandment and remaining in his love. And he further emphasized a specific command. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. John 15, verses number 12. Now, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to bond us to him, himself. We experience his real presence when our love for him moves to obey his teaching. Further, as we live in intimate union with Jesus, he produces fruit in our lives. The key to living in union is love that moves us to obey, especially his specific command to love each other. We demonstrate the spiritual fruit identified both in the Old Testament and the New Testament through the interpersonal relationships. As we love one another, we realize in our lives in the beauty and the spiritual quality of God. Without one another, however, there can be no production of spiritual fruit. With love for Christ, love for one another, God's fruit will bud and grow in our lives. We must allow that to happen in our lives. Now let's look further. John mentioned a specific progression of fruit bearing. And let's take a look at this progression. There are three points that we're going to look at. Number one, some fruit. The Lord wants all believers to bear some fruit. There is no exception. John 15 and 2. Number two, more fruit. If we allow the Lord to prune our lives, it will permit us to grow spiritually and begin to bear more fruit. John 15 and 2. The third point, much fruit. If we abide in Jesus, we progress to a state of bearing much fruit. We constantly bear fruit because we are constantly abiding in him. So here the progression was from number one, from some fruit to more fruit to much fruit. And that's what Jesus said. I would that you bear much fruit. And so he's looking for us to bear fruit. And again, to do that, God is going to bless our life. Now let's look at the danger of not abiding in him. John 15 and 6 states, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The wood of the grapevine is soft, it can be cut into lumber, into furniture or utensil. It has value only when it lives in the vine, bearing fruit. So it is Jesus' picture of the essential nature of abiding in him. Branches that fail to continue abide in Christ eventually are thrown away and burned. The branch that is not producing is useless. Jesus does not desire to discard any believer. However, if a believer refuses to abide in him and continue in unfruitfulness, the Lord will discard him like a dead branch. God has chosen us, has called us into relationship with him so that we may produce the fruit of true goodness and display his character to the world. If we fail to abide in Jesus, however, though, he is an empty and useless life and eventually abandonment by the Lord. That is how important it is to remain in Christ Jesus. Now let's the promise to those who are abiding in him. God is glorified by the child of God's fruitfulness. However, that which glorified God also benefits the disciples. There are innumerable benefits that we stay close to Jesus Christ. We produce much fruit and find a sense of satisfaction in fulfilling our divine destiny. And let's take a look as we look at these next five points. Number one, answer to prayer. We gain power in prayer, answering whatever we desire of him because we are abiding in him. Number two, assurance of Christ's love. When we abide close to Jesus, we are constantly aware of his love for us. Number three, continuing discipleship. We demonstrate our discipleship and reveal the reality of our relationship with Jesus. Number four, fullness of joy. We remain in Jesus' love, sensing a closeness to him. Further, we experience a deep-seated joy that wells up from within, even during difficult circumstances of life. Number five, friendship with Christ. The word friend is one of the most significant words in scriptures that help us to understand the Christian life. The significant is seen in Christ's analogy. A lord or master has the right to give his servant order. It is none of their business why the master gives a command. Slaves are responsible for only obey, and they must obey or else. Now, Jesus is Lord and has the right to give command that we must obey. However, he has chosen to call us his followers, friends. Consequently, he shares his ultimate purpose and motives with us and guide us in his will. Further, he gives us a choice not available to slaves. As a friend may respond to a friend out of affection, but a friend chooses not have to obey. They can choose to or they can choose not to obey. Now let's look at this analogy here. There was a man who told about his daughter who was taking a piano lesson. It was her first year, and all too often her parents heard her say, "I hate the piano." Pouting and miserable, she would head off to practice, but only because they made her practice. Now another man told of his two nephews who were our accomplished violinists and that they loved to practice. Even their summer vacation are dedicated to playing in some orchestra or heading off to a succession of music camps. What a difference between having to practice and wanting to. This is the difference that Jesus implied, which also is the key to living a successful Christian life. God does not want believers to go out pouting miserably to obey Jesus just because they have to. God wants his people to be his friends, and a friend eagerly respond to the wishes and requests of his friend because he wants to please him. We show that we are Jesus' friend when we do what he has commanded, for he will not force us. Indeed, he invites us to respond to him out of love. We can love God and do what we please because if we love God, pleasing him is what we will want to do. And so here we are. We have looked at, as we have progressed thus far, we have looked at some great things here on today. It's about our relationship with Christ. We talked about the three main relationship with the Lord, according to John 15, verses 1 through 4, a relationship with one another. John 15, verses 12 through 17. Then we looked at a relationship with the world, John 15, verses 18 through 19. We also talked about he is the true vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine," John 15, verses 1. Then we went further and began to talk also about we are the fruitful branches. Jesus Christ is the vine and the source of the spiritual vitality, and believers need him. We talked about being those branches where we get our spiritual blessing and our spiritual strength for being and staying connected. Then we went about talking a little bit more about the prerequisites for fruitfulness, about being purged by God, about abiding in him. According to John 15 and 4, say, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide, no more can ye except you abide in me." And then we are obeying his word. And finally, we looked at the degrees of fruit bearing. We looked at the theme about the vine and his branches. And then we looked at the command of Jesus to his disciple to another. We also looked at the at what Apostle Paul had portrayed the fruit as: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, from Galatians 5:22 and verse 23. Then we also looked at the three types of progression of fruit bearing: some fruit, more fruit, and we also looked at much fruit. We also covered at looking at the danger of not abiding in him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John 15 and 6. Then we looked at the promise to those that abiding in him, those that will remain faithful, those that will be persistent in the things that God has given unto them. And we found that it said that it was answer to prayers, assurance of Christ's love, continuing discipleship, fullness of joy, friendship with Christ. And in our closing, as we look at this lesson, believers must abide in Jesus if they are to bear fruit, for without him they cannot produce fruit. We abide as branches. He is the true vine. He expects and needs us to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Always be aware of the danger of not abiding in him. Even though there are danger in not abiding in him, there are wonderful blessings that comes as a result of remaining in him. When we abide in Christ Jesus, we have the blessing of answered prayer, the assurance of the continual discipleship, the fullness of joy, and friendship with him. Oh, child of God, what a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous blessing as we continue to abide in him. And as I read the scripture, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that fruit, he purges it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, here it is, child of God, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that you may joy, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friend if ye do whatsoever I command you. Abiding, in my closing on today, I reiterate, abiding in Christ is the secret to fruitfulness, friendship, and continue discipleship and answer prayer. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask, will shall be done unto you. Let us pray. Thank you, dear God, for this wonderful word that you've given us on today. And I thank you for my radio listeners and hearers. today, and I pray a special blessing over their relationships, God, relationship with you and relationship with others and relationship even in this world, God. I pray that it will be fruitful, that we will bear much fruit, God, preach fruit in our lives. We thank you, dear God, because you are the righteous Savior. Let the love, let the joy, let peace, and even, Lord, the long-suffering and gentleness and patience, and, Lord, let it just abound in our lives, oh God, that we can bring forth the necessary fruit of goodness and faith and meekness and gentleness and temperance in our lives, that we may be the men and women of God that you called us out to be as you work on our character, Lord. Wash it and cleanse it by the blood of Yeshua, the Lamb of God, oh God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, and each and every one of our radio listeners, Lord, and the blessing that will spring forth as they will bud and start producing, Lord, the fruitness for you, that you they will have and bear all of the fruit that you are requiring and seeking for, that your people will bear. And, oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. And, Father, we thank you because you are the righteous Savior and the Holy One of Israel. And, Father, we thank you as we continue to bear much fruit for you every day of our life. We recognize you are the God of glory, and we're going to abide in your word and continue our intimate relationship with the Lord our God. Oh, Shatorabosat, Katorabashika Boshikuranda, Ratabashiketoranda Bashanda. Lord, bless your people everywhere. And those that are listening to this session, I touch and agree with whatever they have need of, Lord, according to your will. Let us and Father the Lord that all would know of love on us, Lord, that the world of your goodness and your grace. And Father, we thank you, oh God, and we give you the glory and the honor. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy and matchless name we pray. Amen and amen. As I always say, that if you live, God got it, and you are just one question from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. And so, child of God, if you've been discouraged, shake it off. If you've thrown in your towel, go back and get your towel again. And if you have tried to give up, I encourage you to get up out of that stupor and go back down on your knees and ask God all over again. Continue to knock. Continue to seek and ask, because there's a miracle between your nose and your chin. It is in your mouth. It's nigh thee, even in your mouth. God bless you. Bye-bye.